I'm David Brinkley in New York. Edwin Newman is here with us. California had an earthquake early this morning. Buildings collapsed, people were trapped in them, cracks appeared in dams, and parts of the famous California freeways broke and crumpled. The center of the earthquake was 26 miles northwest of downtown Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley, but it was felt as far north as Fresno and as far south as Mexico. This afternoon, President Nixon declared California a major disaster area.
An earthquake is still one thing, one transcending phenomenon which has never been seen on television. You can see what it did, and in this case, that is awesome. This was the most severe earthquake in Southern California in 38 years. It claimed some people's lives and absolutely everyone's attention. There is nothing else. It happened at 6 in the morning, but at this hour, there are still dangers. The city of Los Angeles has a series of dams and man-made lakes, and there is trouble at one of them. The concrete part of the dam broke down, and only the earth contains billions of gallons of water now. We have a report from there from Tom Brokaw.
We're in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles. When the earthquake rolled through here this morning, it shook loose the concrete face of the dam and the road across the top. They slid into the water, and for several hours, there was steady erosion of what was left. By working with sandbags and by dropping the level of the reservoir, the situation was stabilized. And now there is growing optimism that the dam will hold, that it won't break. Still, a strong aftershock could undo all of the progress. So in the valley below the dam, thousands of people have been evacuated from their homes to evacuation centers, and they are still in those evacuation centers. The report is they'll be there for several hours. All day here, it has been a situation of wait and see, and it will continue so. Tom Brokaw, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Police did not order, but urged people below the dam to evacuate that area, and most people did. They evacuated over quite a widespread area. Police estimate that as many as 80,000 people left their homes. Most of them did not bother to pack, did not bother to take much, but moved slowly toward evacuation centers. The greatest loss of life this morning was here, at a veterans hospital in the San Fernando Valley. It's an old building, and one wing collapsed. Patients in wards 6 and 7 were buried in the wreckage. More than 100 were injured here. After several hours of digging, workers had counted 11 who had died, and there was still more digging to be done. The injured, those that could be moved immediately, were taken from the hospital to other hospitals. Another place where there were deaths this morning was at another hospital, the Olive View Sanitarium in the San Fernando Valley, a brand new building, just opened recently. County engineers said it was built to conform with all earthquake specifications, but it fell, part of it, and two patients were killed. In downtown Los Angeles, one man died at the Midnight Mission, a home for the homeless. The roof collapsed. The men sleep on the second floor, and probably many would have died in their beds there, but for the fact that 15 minutes before they had gotten up, gone downstairs for chapel and breakfast.
Hey,
One man who was killed there went outside and was hit by bricks. Downtown, tall buildings swayed during the quake as they are supposed to. Earthquake, however, the freeways, however, did not sway. And they gave bridges. At one point, a truck was crushed and the man in it was killed. Gas mains broke and fires erupted. Los Angeles generally is a disaster area tonight, as officially Governor Reagan and President Nixon have declared it to be. There are more kinds of trouble than can be told in this city now. The face of City Hall is cracked. Engineers say that may cost $500,000 to fix. The city library has put out a call for volunteers to help pick up 100,000 books that are on the floor of the library. Every supermarket knows a similar problem. And many, many homes. This is the home of a colleague, NBC News correspondent Frank Burkholzer. For Frank, as for so many people, this has become something very personal today.
I discovered this morning that you have an intensely intimate relationship with an earthquake. He is a God who possesses you, holds you and your bed and your house and your quarter acre in the claw of his hand, and he shakes you. And if he doesn't kill you, you know it's only because he doesn't want to. You're shouting for the others. The furniture is crashing to the floor. The walls and roof and floor are clattering hysterically. You care for 30 seconds only about survival. Then there you are in the backyard in your jockey shorts, seeing but not believing the shambles of the garden wall, the half-emptied swimming pool. The ground trembles again, and you know the earthquake still holds you, has always held you, and always will. And then, only then, you look up and wonder if it's been happening to anyone else.
I was sleeping, and the first thing I knew, I was in the floor, flat.
Our medicine cabinet came open, and the lamp started shaking.
I felt like I was on a roller coaster.
Well, it seemed like it was throwing me off balance, and, you know, you take a few steps, and you didn't know which way to go.
Looked out in my backyard when the first shock hit, and it looked like the beach of Waikiki, our pool was surfs up.
On the Richter scale, as earthquakes are measured, this was 6.5, moderately heavy. Indeed, Dr. Richter himself lives here, and he too was wakened by this. What caused it? There was interesting speculation today from an astronomer.
What we have is the sun on one side of the earth is pulling in one direction, the moon on the other side of the earth is pulling in the opposite direction, and as a result, the earth is getting deformed into a shape similar to that of a football. And I would personally suggest that it's quite probable that these enormous tidal stresses, these gravitational forces of the earth, of the sun pulling in one direction and the moon pulling in the other, perhaps triggered the earthquake this morning at 6 o'clock.
Tonight, there will be an eclipse of the moon. And what's happening now in Los Angeles? Some people are in evacuation centers, some are home picking up, a few are looting. Everyone is talking earthquake. And as they do, every now and then, again, the earth moves. Jack Perkins, NBC News, Los Angeles.
So far, it is known that 26 people were killed and more than 100 hurt, and almost 80,000 had to leave their homes. Tonight at 10:50 Eastern Time, NBC News will present a special report on the earthquake.
This is NBC Nightly News, Tuesday, February 9th, 1971. Brought to you by Alpo Dog Food. Alpo means more meat and provides a 100% complete and balanced diet for your dog.
Oh, hi, baby.
Well, 2 hours. That's not bad for Saturday shopping.
Oh, what a rat race.
Hey, this isn't Alpo.
I know how crazy you are about that dog, but this is just like Alpo, only cheaper.
Alpo isn't just another dog food. It's different.
I know. Beef chunks and meat byproducts with all the vitamins and minerals for a complete and balanced diet. And not a speck of cereal.
Period.
But this one's meat, too.
Read the ingredients.
Meat byproducts, Soybean meal, cracked barley, wheat middlings, that's cereal.
Now you know why you should get Alpo.
Alpo is beef and meat byproducts with all the vitamins and minerals for a complete and balanced diet, not a speck of cereal.
Period. End of report.
Baby, from now on, it's Alpo for you.
Now let's see what you bought the kids.
Doesn't your dog deserve Alpo?
The three flyers of Apollo 14 are back and safe after a highly successful flight. They brought back about 100 pounds of moon, the biggest haul so far, for geologists and others to pore over and learn more about the origins and structure of the moon and perhaps of the Earth. They landed this afternoon in the South Pacific, due east of Australia, on time and on target, and in sight of the recovery carrier, the New Orleans. The television pictures from the carrier by satellite were the best they've ever been.
Too far from the chutes and the site of splashdown, and we see another now. Two helicopters have closed on the splashdown site, and that splashdown should be coming up just very shortly from now. And those big orange and white parachutes, all the life going out of them, their work done. They will be set free. You can see legs, and now the entire astronaut down into the egress raft, tall lily pad. Stuart Roosa could make the next, quite probably Ed Mitchell. And finally, the mission commander, Alan Shepard. Navy captain, by tradition, last to leave his ship. It should be a kind of exciting ride at any time, but I'm sure doubly so on an occasion like this. The crew chief and the helicopter, taking his commander's advice, proceeding slowly. Now, and here they come, the Apollo 14 astronauts, waving, obviously glad to be back, glad it's over, looking forward to getting all the way home once again. Posing for pictures now, Alan Shepard, Ed Mitchell, and Stuart Roosa.
Today, you were the last man out of the command module. You're also the first American in space. You have been the earliest and the latest, one of the shortest, and qualifying for one of the longest, certainly the shortest. Now, there's some of your friends here that say you can't harken back that far, but how about giving a comparison between the first Mercury mission and the one you just came back from?
Well, General, frankly, I'm not really a student of history. As you point out, it was a long time ago, and it was a great ride. This last one was a great ride, too. And also, fortunately, it will not be the last ride. There'll be other flights going, space flights going to the moon and space laboratories and shuttles and so on. But this was a great thrill. There's no question about it.
They will remain in quarantine a while, again, to make sure they didn't bring back any moon germs that might be dangerous on Earth, even though all the evidence so far is there's no danger of that at all. After they landed, Shepard, at 47, the senior citizen of the space program, put in a little plug for future moon flights by saying there's a lot of rock still left up there. He himself has said nothing, but there is some talk Shepard might go back to his home state of New Hampshire and run for governor. If he did, and if he won, it would be the only state whose governor has been to the moon.
Magnificent, yes?
Yes.
And now for my cup of
teas.
Teas? 22 fantastic teas in one bag.
Ah, Salada teas.
Salada teas, a blend of the world's great teas. Full, beautiful body. And now, we shoot the love scene. This should win an Academy Award.
The love scene?
No, stupido, the Salada teas.
Remember Whitey Ford, winner of 10 World Series games? Well, today he's pitching to his son, Eddie. Boy, is he catching on.
I like to stay on the young side with sensible exercise and sensible eating, like Kellogg's product 19, the high-potency cereal with all of the minimum daily adult requirements for vitamins and iron.
All the flavor, too, Dad.
Want to get back on the young side? Start with Kellogg's product 19.
In Laos, the main South Vietnamese column today was reported moving along Route 9 about 6 miles inside the border. The column has been slowed down by bad weather and by craters left by American bombing, but advance units are 6 or so miles farther along, and American helicopters are operating ahead of them. Secretary of Defense Laird said again today that the invasion of Laos would help the American withdrawal from Vietnam. Secretary of State Rogers said the same thing. Senator Church of Idaho, one of the war's leading critics, called Indochina today a war without end. Church added that there was no chance that the Senate would fix a date by which the United States had to leave, and he said there was no chance either that the Senate would cut off the money for the war. After the invasion of Cambodia last spring, there were strikes and violence on hundreds of campuses. The invasion of Laos has brought no such reaction. Today at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, a rally was held. There are 35,000 students on the campus. 2,000 people went to the rally and listened to speeches, but that was all. Some of the students told how they felt about Laos.
Are you as concerned about this invasion as you were about the invasion of Cambodia?
Well, no, because of the fact that American troops are not directly involved.
But as far as the action that can be taken on university campuses towards changing this reaction, I don't feel there is very much we can do about it.
Is there as much concern over this as there was the invasion of Cambodia?
I think that's hard to measure yet.
I am very concerned about it, just as I was about the Cambodian invasion, but I feel no matter how much concern any students feel, it will not stop Mr. Nixon's invasions and escalations of the war. And any kind of riots or student demonstrations will not help stop his escalations. The only thing we should do is just cool it a little and just let him do whatever he wants, because no matter what we do, it won't help it, and we'll be playing right into his hands.
One thing, our land troops are not directly involved so far, as much as we can tell. And I think if it's going to be a quick thing with just the South Vietnamese troops involved, the campus reaction won't quite be as violent.
I don't want to see anything happen. I don't want to see campus violence or anything, but I'm very upset with it.
Susan Atkins, one of the three women convicted with Charles Manson in the Sharon Tate murder trial, today admitted that she had been personally involved in the killings. Miss Atkins took the stand before the same jury that returned the guilty verdict. The jury is now hearing testimony before deciding whether the four defendants should be executed or sent to prison for life.
Susan Atkins sobbed and hung her head as she confessed to being personally involved in the Sharon Tate murders. It was the first time the jurors have heard an admission of guilt from any of the four convicted murderers. "I have tried and tried," she said, "to tell you the truth. Now you all know." She said all she could remember of the night at the Tate house was bits and pieces, of looking at a woman lying on the floor, of picking up a towel and writing words in blood on the wall, of people running everywhere. She said Charles Manson was not to blame, that the murders were the idea of Linda Kasabian, who had earlier been the prosecution's key witness. Judge Charles Older objected sharply when a knife was put in front of Miss Atkins so she could demonstrate how she remembered holding one. Miss Atkins said it was Linda Kasabian who picked the Tate house for the killings because she said she had once been to the home to buy drugs, had been badly treated, and wanted revenge. Don Oliver, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Thank you.
What's that, Charlie?
A candelabra for my piano.
What's a piano?
Something you put under your candelabra, dummy, to show Starkist you got good taste.
But, Charlie, Starkist don't want tunas with good taste. They want tunas that taste good.
Did you see it?
Sorry, Charlie, but only the best-tasting tuna get to be Starkist. It's 100% prime filet.
It is the best-tasting tuna.
For the best-tasting tuna, get Starkist.
Tell him Charlie sent you.
What happens inside your system to plain aspirin and Bufferin? This illustrates most of Bufferin with its extra speed is already going to your headache, when most of plain aspirin is still in your stomach. So with Bufferin, there's less to upset your stomach when there's more pain reliever going to your headache. Bufferin, faster to your headache, better for your stomach.
The dispute has flared up again between the Navy and the people of Culebra off Puerto Rico over the Navy's determination to use part of that island for target practice. Yesterday, American Marines dismantled a chapel built by the protesters and then fought with 30 of them who broke through barbed wire. The Navy said the protesters were carrying firebombs. Tear gas was used on them twice. One man was injured. Today, Senator Kennedy asked for an investigation and no further use of tear gas. In the troubles in Northern Ireland, Prime Minister James Chichester Clark said today that Irish Republican extremists were carrying out a master plan of sedition that he said can only make the name of Irishmen stink throughout the world.
In Northern Ireland, there is a new style of warfare, the British Army versus the Irish Republican Army. Crowds still turn out, as Catholic crowds did last night, to hurl rocks at troops and set fire to vehicles. But the guns also are out. Last night, two soldiers and four civilians were wounded. Also, a Catholic child died by accident under the wheels of a British Army vehicle. Behind the guns stands the IRA. Its motive apparently is to use guns and bombs to stir up so much chaos that Britain eventually gives in and gives Northern Ireland to the Irish Republic. What looked like an IRA operation killed five men in a jeep in the countryside today. The dead were two BBC engineers and three construction workers riding in the jeep along a mountain road to a BBC transmitter. It was the highest explosion death toll in Ireland since World War II. The British Army thought the mine was meant for one of its own daily jeep patrols to the transmitter. IRA men in black berets held funerals in Belfast today for two Irish Republicans killed in weekend gun battles with British troops. The Irish Republican tricolor was on the coffins, although displaying this flag and the IRA itself are illegal in Northern Ireland. Protestant crowds along the route to the cemetery were angry about the members of the outlawed organization marching past with their illegal flag. British troops were on hand to prevent a clash between the mourners and the Protestants. The IRA in Northern Ireland has been taken over by the so-called Provisional Branch of the Republican Army. The Provisionals are hardline extremists. Critics say the Provisionals feel that the only way to unite Ireland, North and South, is with aggressive force, with the gun and the bomb. But a Provisional who wanted his identity kept secret claimed that the IRA's present role is to defend Catholics against British Army tactics.
Well, when you talk about keeping the British troops from carrying out arms searches and things like that, does this mean that the IRA would shoot at the British troops and throw nail bombs and other bombs
at them? We have shot at them, we have thrown nail bombs at them, we have thrown hand grenades at them. And we will continue to do it if they continue on their present policy. They are the people, the British Army are the terrorists. They introduced a terrorist situation, not us. And if they terrorize the people, we will terrorize them. We have nothing to lose, understand. There's one, and the people in our organization are determined that for once and for all, this is going to be the end of this type of regime that has existed in Ireland for 50 years. This is going to be the end of internments. This is going to be the end of men spending 15, 20 years in prison because they believe in a republic. This is going to be the end of Nazi-type government that existed here under Stormont.
I've heard.
The nation's largest railroad union, the Brotherhood of Railway Clerks, today broke off contract talks with management and scheduled a strike for March 1st. That date is the expiration of a no-strike period imposed by Congress in December to head off an earlier strike threat. The Chrysler Corporation reported today that it lost more than $7.5 million last year. The year before that, it made $99 million. The New York Stock Exchange set another new trading record today, the second new record in as many days, 28.25 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials lost 2.33 points, and the value of an average share lost a cent. On the American Exchange, an average share lost 2 cents. David?
On the Mediterranean island of Ibiza, which is owned by Spain, someone spent $1 million just recently to put up a 600-room, 10-story luxury hotel, the Insula Augusta. Well, everything was fine, or so the owner thought, but the hotel never opened. It was built too close to a runway on the island's airport. The Air Ministry said the hotel was a menace to planes and ordered it removed, just like that. 1,400 blasting caps and 660 pounds of explosives were placed in holes drilled into the pillars of the building, and in an instant, that was the end of the new hotel. Now again, there's room for the airplanes. Thank you, and good night for NBC News.
There are no children in poor neighborhoods. Small people, but no children. Rat bites, knife fights, falling plaster, and heroin do not a childhood make. And when these instant adults grow tall, they find no jobs. No school, no skills but street skills make a bad resume. And yet, they make very good workers. The jobs program is finding jobs and training for the men who never were children. Jobs works.
Another cold, honey.
Oh, you look terrible, Harry.
I feel terrible. I've been sneezing and coughing, my throat's scratchy. I feel achy and I need some rest.
Take NyQuil.
Vicks NyQuil, nighttime cold medicine, relieves your major cold symptoms for hours. Relieves them so well, it helps you get the rest you need.
I'm lucky to have you, Mildred.
I know.
You got a cold tonight? Put NyQuil to work.
Tonight at approximately 10:50, 9:50 Central Time, NBC News will bring you a special report on the earthquake that struck Southern California today. Live color coverage begins immediately following the Tuesday night movie at approximately 10:50, 9:50 Central Time on most of these NBC stations.